Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
173.
1-7-3.
I don't think that's how counting works in Spanish, but let's go with it.
I don't think so either, but I'll learn.
It's better than you two. It's better than you two.
It is.
Uno, dos, tres, catorce?
Yeah.
Really? Really? All right, Bono. I guess, if you just want to do that. So apologies to those of you listening today. I am doubling up a little bit here. I've got some work I'm doing for a Kickstarter that is launching tomorrow, so you may hear a little bit of typing on my side. Apologies for that.
And if you hear me drinking heavily or smacking my lips, you can blame Jura Origins for that.
I blame them for everything.
Yes. My father has reintroduced the Jura distillery and its fine liquors to me.
And wonderful.
I'm now okay with them.
Excellent, excellent. So, Scott, my week was bupkis. I went mattress shopping, got a new mattress.
That's awesome.
It is. Your week is going to be much more interesting. And then all the rest of my week that's not work was spent prepping for this Kickstarter. So lots of edits, lots of re-edits. You know how it goes.
I do, because I was doing part of it with you.
That's indeed you were. And thank you for that.
Sure.
The sound was great. Hopefully everybody listening will be able to see this relatively soon after the podcast goes live, though I have a feeling the podcast is going to go live in about 4 hours. But yeah, basically keep your eyes on the Demon Hunters Facebook page, Demon Hunters Twitter, Dead Gentleman Facebook page, all that jazz, and you should see a new Kickstarter come to life tomorrow with all new footage and some funny intro videos and all that jazz. Yay! I guess.
Huzzah!
And then, huzzah! No, it's good. It's good. It'll be great. It's just a lot of work leading up to it.
Yeah.
Additionally, let's see, the two other big things that happened this week. I tried these new peanut butter ho-hos, which are terrible, garbage fucking cake. Don't eat peanut butter ho-hos. They are awful. They are neither of those things. They are not a combination of those two things, and what you get is not either one. It's terrible. So don't do that. And I guess lastly was the thing I was telling you about where the NES Classic got discontinued this week amid amazing sales to the point where they couldn't keep it in stock. They were like, oh, okay, well, we're done. So it's like the most... What they're doing is just essentially creating a collectible. And I have a bunch of theories as to why they're doing that. But everybody who wanted one did not get one. It's not a situation where there's going to be any old new stock left. So, like, you can go out today and get a new inbox Super Nintendo, a new inbox NES, a new inbox Famicom that have never been opened from the factory that are just new old stock. This is gone. Like, everybody who has... the only way you're going to be able to get it new in box is from a collector. So, it sucks for a lot of people, and I'm glad Nintendo saw that gigantic marketing opportunity. I have a feeling they did it because they don't want to cut into their virtual console sales that I'm positive are going to be huge on the Switch when they finally kick them off. And they also found out that the hardware for the NES Classic can be hacked with a one-click root. So one click, you control the whole machine and you can put as many ROMs on it as you want. There's also This is not something I really want to get into because this would be its own episode, but it looks like the, like at least the Super Mario Brothers ROM that's on it mm-hmm. was downloaded from the internet. Nintendo downloaded an illegal ROM from the internet. It's got the same signature as one of the illegal ROMs and put it on their own legal system, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's kind of my take on that, but sorry if you wanted to get an NES classic, they are dead.
Okay, so explain to me and the listeners at home who may not know what the hell you're talking about right now.
Oh, okay. So the NES Classic was a tiny emulator built by Nintendo, first party, that looks just like a shrunk down NES console. Okay. They also released a Famicom Classic, which is also being discontinued. And where a lot of people are hoping they also do Super Nintendo or Super Famicom. We'll see how that goes considering the situation here. But basically, it's a little tiny NES with no opening door. You can't open the door. But a controller that feels just like the old school NES controller plugs into it with a proprietary port. So you mm-hmm. can't use your own old NES controllers. You have to use their proprietary ones, of course. But it looks really cool, and it's a really cute way. And to also it straight up, hands down, is the best way to play old games on a modern television because mm-hmm. they put a lot of work into making these games look really good on modern TVs. A lot of the old games really utilized CRT in a way that we just can't do today.
Mm-hmm.
There's no latency on CRT. Basically, a signal goes from the console to the cathode ray and draws on the phosphors, right? It's just
right.
The ray hits the phosphors, lights them up. There's no latency there. All of the DRM and shit that we've made, all of this crappy DRM that everybody's put in to keep people from pirating movies that has never worked for even a second,
mm-hmm.
gives you, on average, between 150 and 500 milliseconds of latency. That means that if you're playing something over HDMI, you're almost never, ever going to get a low latency picture, which for most games isn't a big deal. But you're talking stuff like Battletoads, where you have a frame to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
like one video game frame to make a decision. It's impossible to play if you've got more than 100 milliseconds of latency.
Right.
So does
the Classic come with all the games on it since there's no slot?
It comes with 30. And that's, I think, where they made their big mistake. That's why people were like, okay, we're going to figure out how to hack this right away.
Oh.
So it comes with 30. They're 30 curated games. They're fairly good. It's missing some really important ones, in my opinion. There's no A Boy and His Blob, which is like one of the classic games. You know, but it does have Mario 3. It has Super Mario Brothers. It has Mario Brothers, the old arcade style.
Mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Zelda, Zelda 2, Metroid. No Contra, but it does have Super C, which is weird. I don't know why they made that choice, but all right. So it's got 30 fairly good games, mm-hmm. Kirby and Dream Land, stuff like that. However, your one-click route, 700, you can put all 700 ROMs on it. No problem.
Oh, okay.
It's got 16 gigs of storage for...
Wow. For 30,
and I think,
for 30 emulated games?
For 30 NES games, which are max, I think, 1 meg.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you can get 700 games on that sucker, like, with one click and a little bit of planning.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm assuming that's why they killed it. It's a great emulator, though, but a lot of people are like, well, fuck you, Nintendo. We'll just make a Retro Pi out of the new Raspberry Pi 3. And circumvent you, and you don't get any of our money, so here are my fingers flipping you off, and you can 3D print the case and everything. Still, though, I was a huge fan of the sanctioned hardware. I thought mm-hmm. it was a great idea, and I'm really sad to see it go for what I can only assume are very stupid reasons, or very, very shrewd reasons. It could be a business plan for a re-release or a new release of something else, or keep it extremely, extremely limited, and then release a new one that has Wi-Fi or something that allows you to buy more games. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's kind of sad to see it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my week. Let's hear about yours.
Well, earlier, what was I doing? I was trying to close stuff up. I did some edits for a article that I wrote for APP Northwest Seattle on Reels. So we'll see if and when that gets launched. It may be tomorrow, which would be the 17th of April. And we may wait. I'm not sure. And then I did some quick edits to show the difference between a sizzle reel and an actor reel. And I chose Clint Eastwood because it was some footage that I could find, slap some stuff together, and kind of illustrated the difference between the two of those. And then did audio work for the project Andy's working on. And then after we had picture lock, it got changed. So I did some more audio work. And then did some audio work that we thought they'd want and didn't want. So then I undid that audio work. So it'll be fun to see what actually got used in the end. And did a lot of planning and stressing for my dad and Wilma to come over on their trip. And finally, that was all put to rest on Friday morning when I picked them up at the airport.
Nice.
And if I haven't ranted about Windows Phone enough lately, here's another awesome, awesome thing that happens. So I go to the car rental place, Europe Car. And my local person there, Ed, is super awesome. And of course, because he takes care of me, I take care of him and his staff. So I took a bag of traditional pasties over to them and presented them all with that when Ed presented me my car, which means the next time I go in, you know, I'll get treated awesome again. And he got me a really nice brand new Vauxhall SUV with 1,000 miles on it. And I was getting a subcompact rental, and then he charged me $5 a day for the upgrade. Sorry, £5 a day for the upgrade because it wasn't diesel. And he knew that I was going to be paying through the nose for the petrol. So he cut me an extra deal. But anyway, Ed's super awesome. So he says, oh yeah, all you got to do is go down here through Knutsford and take a right at the second roundabout, and then you will be on the big cloverleaf to the M8, and then you go right. And I couldn't remember on the second one whether it was right or left, so I followed the M6 to Manchester, which took me the long way to the airport. Now, had I been able to use my newly updated Microsoft Windows Phone Maps app, it would have told me, take the right on the M6, go south, even though you want to go north, go south on the M6 for two exits, and then take the M56 over, and boom, you're at the airport. But no, because my phone could not figure out how to get to Manchester Airport. From where I clearly was a little blue dot with my location. It found Manchester Airport, but it said there was no way for me to get there. So, yeah. Anyway, I got there on time. Picked up Dan Wilma. We came back. Wilma took a nap, took Dad on a walk around Warrington. Came back, Dad took a nap, took Wilma on an augmented walk around Warrington. And then this week, oh, and then I made the third time steak and Guinness pie. It turned out really well this time. Super, I've keep learning all my mistakes, and this one did not overflow into the oven and burn all the cheese, which was great.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice crispy crust. It was just perfect. And then we got up the next morning and went to the Lakes District, which I keep probably have kept referring to as the Peak District, which it's not. So the Peak District is by Sheffield and Leicester, and where the Blue John's Cavern and Bakewell and Buxton are, that Jen and I have been to. The Lake District is another mountainous region with, oddly enough, some lakes created by some glacier movement. So they're long, narrow, deep lakes. And it's on the way up to Hadrian's Wall and Scotland. So it's a little coastal. It's north of us. That means rain. But we lucked out pretty much on the weather. Drove up to the Beatrix Potter area. Did a nice little walk around. Went through a marina. And thought we were going to go up to Wordsworth's house. One of a number of places that he lived in the Lakes District. And instead of the 592, took the 591, which was a little goat trail, in my smallish SUV. On high rocked walled, narrow 1.5 lane roads with oncoming traffic. So that was a little, everyone got there safe. But we just sort of, go ahead.
Was Beatrix Potter, was she Peter Rabbit or the Velveteen Rabbit? Peter Rabbit, right?
Peter Rabbit, yes.
Okay.
And many other things.
Not Far and Away, but something like Far and Away.
Right. And not Toad Hollow. I should know. We chose not to go because on the west side of the lake, which we were, which Google said Beatrix Potter World, I didn't do enough investigation, and that's like the kiddies ride. We could have taken the ferry across the lake and hiked up a hill to her house, and we just opted not to do that. Ended up at Ullswater Lake, which we were going to visit today.
Right.
Had a lovely lunch, and then proceeded to do a little walking back to a what we thought was an older church, but part of it was older, part of it was newly rebuilt, but plenty of 1800 era stones, beautiful daffodils littered throughout the cemetery. Just a picturesque little place at the edge of the lake and the just drastic landscape. And Dad had a great time with pictures, and we were competing to take the most awesome pictures, which was great. My phone decided to do an update in the middle of, I don't have cell reception and there's no Wi-Fi. I do not know how my phone decided to do an update at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, but it did. So took out my camera to take the pictures, and there's no camera available. So we just kept driving, got to where we were staying, ended up going into a little town. And walk around that area. Lovely. There were probably 20. Much like Snowdonia and the Peaks District, the Lake District has a lot of hikers. Throughout all of Britain, there is no, quote, private land. I mean, there's privately held land, but you can walk on it. So you can go wherever. And in these areas, there's a lot of hikers, and they say mountain climbers. They're not really mountains. They're very, very, very tall hills, but not really mountains. But there was about in this tiny little town, about 20 outdoor clothing stores. Some of them Maine, like Millet's or Black's or North Face or any of those. But then you had the boutique shops that were like multi-layer, and they would sell a bunch of different branded stuff for layering and outdoor equipment and ice boots. And even though there's no really ice, well, I guess maybe in the dead of winter there might be some ice around there, but you know, it was just really odd, along with, you know, all the pastry shops and everything else that you'd find in a little mountain village. But the architecture was lovely, the town was great. So we went through there, then found a standing stone circle, drove out there, went out, and as Jen pointed out, I don't know why, but every one of these Neolithic type monument areas, they are the windiest, most laid open to the element areas in the surrounding area, but gorgeous. So got to see a lot of really nice landscapes. And then today came down the way that we were going to come up yesterday, stopped by what we thought was where I wanted to go, but it wasn't. But it turned out to be an awesome trust for Wordsworth the poet, and where he lived from, I believe, 1797 to 1805-ish, I think. Something like that.
So like 6 minutes?
No, for like 8 years.
It's a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Because time is told in 24 hours over. Anyway.
Yes.
No, but 97 doesn't work. I miss the 97. When it would be funny if it was 57, but that's fine. Anyway.
So yeah, it was really cool, and they've preserved the house, and there were a lot of people who lived there. His wife, his sister, his brother, then their kids, and they moved locally around the area, and there's a number of the houses, but we got a really nice history about it. And again, just a totally different architecture and the house. And I finally got to be in a coal fire heated house.
Oh yeah. How was that?
Warm, but a very distinct scent to coal burning that I've not ever been around. It's kind of like a peaty asphalt.
Yep.
And, very unique, very awesome. You know, it was cool just walking through this house. And then the other thing that we did was went around to the far west side and found this awesome castle / fortress / manor house that is currently owned by, I think, the family that got the residence was in the 1400s. And this area, and at least the foundation of the place, if not major portions of it, were built during the Roman occupation. And it looked way more contemporary than that, but it beautiful old house. They had the like I said, the family still owns it. They live in a wing, and then they open up the rest of it to the general public with all the oil paintings and some more chevre porcelain and carvings and brasswork and woodwork and tapestries. Just amazing stuff. But they had a little glass locket with a lock of hair from King Henry VI, 1465.
Wow.
Is the date of this thing under glass for you to go in. Now, this place, you could not take any photography, any photos, nothing. So it was just, you know, look and experience. But it was amazing. And in addition, I don't know if this is a family passion over the generations or not, but there is a owl conservatory, or more... a lot of owls, but more of a birds of prey conservatory there. And we got to see an awesome bird show done without, as an example, my dad, when he went and did Scotland last year, he saw one of these natural wildlife feedings of red kites. So, you know, there's a bunch of red kites in the area. At 4 o'clock, they throw up a bunch of chopped up rabbit, and they come in and they go, oh yeah, here's the red kites, and they fly off. These are semi-domesticated birds, but they interact with them in a very natural way. So they're off lead, and they brought out this beautiful white owl, barn owl. Got some pictures of that, and they brought out a number of owls and then an eagle. And the best one, hands down, was the vulture. And it's a hooded African vulture. Beautiful. I'm going to get on my political stand for a moment. It has gone from endangered to severely endangered. Vultures are... really a majestic, as he said, a majestic bird, much like the eagle or an owl or any bird of prey that's just facially challenged. The rest of the grace and elegance of the movements and all of that is on par with any other bird of prey. But because they circle the dead rhinos that the poachers are killing for their horn only. What the reason that these vultures are extinct now is that when they take the horn from the rhino, they open up the rest of the rhino carcass and fill it with poison.
Mm-hmm.
And a rhino carcass will attract about 100 vultures. And they will clean off the carcass, and then 100 vultures die spontaneously. So not only, I think a while ago we had a conversation about, was it okay to punch a particular person in the face? And I said, no, it's never okay to punch anybody. I take it back. If you find a poacher of any kind,
yeah,
feel free to punch them square in the face.
Not of any kind. Not of any kind. If you find a game poacher, if it's just someone making eggs for Benedict.
Sure. Right. Wildlife poacher. Not. I mean, yes. Don't want to go punch the cook. That's yeah. Not good.
I would say eBay poachers. This also works for. You know. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't
know. Oh, look, I bought this for $7. It's now extinct. And $1,000.
Fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah. So we saw that today and then had a drive back. Luckily, I called ahead. The rain stopped when we were outdoors. It poured like a motherfucker when we were indoors. Got home, had a lovely dinner. And tomorrow, Wilma and my dad and I are going to go into Manchester. So... I'm wanting to get this wrapped up tonight so that I can get my beauty rest to go do some more walking.
Which I think it's fair to probably just go ahead and move forward to some questions, maybe.
Yes.
Let's do that. Just a quick reminder, the next 2 weeks, we will not be on.
Correct.
We are on vacation for the next 2 weeks from the podcast. Oh, do I wish it were from more than the podcast, but at least Sundays will be open. So,
yes.
So yeah, we will be back in May. I think May is when we come back, right? Like very first
January,
week of
February,
May.
March. April, May.
Oh, no, yes. It'd be April 30th, right? No. We're out April 30th, so it'll be May 7th, I think. Yeah.
Yes, so. I'm coming back late on the...
Right.
Hopefully we're back on the 7th.
Yes. So there you go, folks. Keep your ears out.
But it may be later. We may have to go with another day early that week. I don't know when we fly in. Okay. We might fly in the 6th.
I'll see what I can do about finding some other content. Obviously, I don't have the ability to really upload this stuff. But I'll see what I can do about gathering some other content and maybe posting it to our Facebook page during that time. See what I can do. No promises. But I don't want to just leave you guys hanging. However, we're just going to go ahead and leave you guys hanging. That's not true. But no. It's a little true.
Little bit. Do you want to... I think last week's podcast helped to make up for some of that. And yeah. I'm sure when I get back from Ireland and Wales and having seen some Shakespeare and then Spain for a week, we might have a few things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm rubbing any of that in, because I'm not. It just happens to be where I'm going.
Right. Indeed. So, our first question comes from Laura Adams, who says, "Sorry, I have not asked any questions lately." Well, that's a statement, so still not doing great, Laura. "I have been drawing a complete blank." Dude, I did not get much sleep last night. Long story short, cat's sick, at the vet right now, actually. And when cat's sick, sleep don't happen.
No.
"I have been drawing a complete blank. I have a stupid one, and if it is too stupid, you don't have to answer or even read it." Well, too late on the read it. Three statements. I know the answer anyway. Four statements.
Four
"Have you been watching April the giraffe?" So this is the newborn giraffe, I'm assuming. It's been big news for Feel Good News, which, you know, a lot of people really need right now.
Right.
So yeah, Laura, thank you for the question. I've only been seeing what gets posted on a website called Imgur or Imgur, depending on how you pronounce your G's, because the site has a mascot of a giraffe. So there's a lot of posting about it. It's a baby giraffe. I've seen baby giraffes get born before, or be born before, not get born. I've seen baby giraffes take down Jason Bourne, okay? Okay, I saw a baby giraffe ninja kick Jason Bourne in his face, hit him so hard he did Dogma. That's not true. That would have been the other way around anyway. So, yeah, it's cool. I mean, I love when baby animals can bring people together, you know, like the panda Ling Ling or whatever it was at the zoo, and, you know, when the baby whales are born. It's great. I have not been following this one, though.
I did not even know it was a thing. I thought it was a new kids program or something. but in the vein of April and animals, I will say this. In England, teddy bears reign supreme for Easter. I do not know why. But
that's
everything for Easter was teddy bears. And thank you, Laura, for your four statements and one question. Casey Lee
seriously,
asks,
keep them coming.
Asks a question by making a statement and then follows it up with a question. He says, question, which is a statement, "Scott starring in a film playing Richard Kuklinski. Thumbs up or down?" No one commented on it except me. He is referring to the bad guy in the film Iceman. I think playing off the one-man show Iceman Cometh that Andy and I had talked about before. But the Iceman is a story about a for-hire killer, probably the most prolific gun for hire that has been in the U.S. I think 60s, 70s is when he kind of reigned. He was the trigger man for the mob. And I don't think I don't think they really caught him in as much as someone finally gave him up or he did or something. I can't remember. But Michael Shannon is the actor who portrays him in the movie. Great movie. But Casey's continuing questions or our conversation on the Facebook thread was that he had seen, I believe, my recent new website, scottcbrown.actor, and had said that he saw a headshot of mine with very intense eyes, and that is one of the very telling and chilling aspects of Richard Kuklinski is was his eyes, and that's kind of where the Iceman moniker came from. Also the fact that he just killed these people with zero remorse.
No, this is the guy who froze his victims to, or froze the murder victims to mask the time of death, though, right? I thought that's where Iceman came from.
Oh,
is that
sure.
Not the same guy I'm thinking of?
Probably. I was just getting it confused with Top Gun.
Scott just really wants to have Tom Cruise smack his ass, is really what all of this comes down to.
I think ultimately that is what it is.
Oh, my God.
Because he'd have to high-five my ass because he's so short.
Right, that's true. I need two apple boxes so Scott can get his ass slapped.
And I can look height-appropriate doing it. But
indeed.
I do appreciate the fact that Casey thinks that this would be a good project for Andy and I.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could do something like this. Who knows? Maybe we will. And yeah, I would. That's kind
can
of.
Can we do a misheard version of it by your grandma? So it's like, oh, the nice man cometh. Oh, I'd like to see that. Does he bring a door prize? Does he bring like a little bottle of wine or maybe a little snack for you? That's why he's the nice man and he comes to your house. Is that what's going on there? No, grandma. He murders people and freezes them. Well, that's not nice at all. Why would you do that?
I don't think we should do that, and you should play grandma.
Done. Double done.
Look for that in 2018.
Indeed.
The nice man.
Paula Moran asks, have you played any of the White Wolf RPGs? And then follows it up with an idea. Besides the listeners asking you questions, perhaps you can give us questions to respond to for more of a conversation dynamic, which might in turn inspire more questions. That's actually a really cool idea. So we did not prepare for that. So I don't really have any questions right now. I will ask one at the end, though. I've got one to ask at the end. I've played Vampire the Masquerade. I've played a little tiny bit of Werewolf. And I've been driven home on a number of occasions by Phil Brocato. That's my White Wolf story.
I have been to a couple raging White Wolf parties at Gen Con.
Indeed.
I legendarily participated in one, and that moment still haunts me to this day, almost
is that
a decade later.
Is that the one where you're up on the rafter thing and... Oh, yeah. We've told that story before. Go back and find it, folks.
Cage dancing to Nine Inch Nails. Which is it? Closer. Yeah. Also where Matt Shimkus fucked up his knee right before we did a show.
That's sad.
It is. And it was not my fault, even though everyone wants to blame me. He climbed the outside of the cage of his own free volition.
Right.
I have not played any. It is something that I think I would be interested in, but just haven't been with a group of people that are playing that particular RPG. And I, too, love your idea, but I'm going to give a caveat. We have asked folks a number of questions over the 173 podcasts that we have done.
Mm-hmm.
And very seldom can we get a give and take. We've asked for the emails where we go back and forth and have a continuing dialogue. We've asked questions for feedback. Tim Martin, I'm looking at you. Where are you with any of this feedback? Nowhere. Tom Brophy, Brian Lewis, I'm only picking on you three because I know I can take you in an arm wrestling match. But no, I couldn't take any of them in an arm wrestling match. But yeah, I think that that's a really good question. I likewise am not prepared because I really haven't been on the Facebooks this week. But if Andy's got a question this week, next time I will try and follow up with a different question. And hopefully that will start a conversation and create some more questions coming back from people that are a sideline to that or further the discussion. I think that would be outstanding. Mm-hmm. And the last question of the podcast goes to, once again, Rob McLennan from the Great White North, and asks, any opinions on the Last Jedi trailer other than awesome?
Do you want to go first?
I will go first with reserving the right to cross-examine the witness at the end of statements.
Indeed.
I just watched it after copying and pasting the questions to Andy before the podcast. I haven't fully digested it. I would say that it's not a trailer and a teaser.
Yes, agreed.
But awesome nonetheless.
Yeah, I'm not as gung-ho about it as everyone else. It doesn't really... For me, it didn't do... I will say it was the right amount of information for a teaser because it didn't crack you over the head with much new aside from that very last line from Luke.
Mm-hmm. Which they try very hard to hide.
Yeah, in silhouette. Right. So I would say, like, overall, I'm not as, like, over the moon with it as everyone else is. I completely have high hopes for the film, but... For me, like, the most shocking trailer in the last 2 weeks has been Thor, because it's good. Like, that scares the hell. Thor is a very weak link in the Marvel chain, classically. Like, Thor 1 was good. You know, it wasn't terrible. It was good, and it was what we needed to get to the Avengers and things like that. Coulson was fantastic in it. Coulson was the best part of Thor, in my opinion. Thor 2, not so great for me. A little weak. Funny parts. Stellan Skarsgård in his underwear was funny-ish, but not really. It was a weird laugh. The Chitauri, the whole thing with it being Fallout, made it not so great. So the Thor 3 trailer, the Thor Ragnarok trailer, is... currently my favorite Thor film. If you take him, you know, I mean, Thor is always great in support roles in the ensemble films. Yeah. It's because of fucking Avengers. I'm like, assemble films, assemble. Damn it. Assemble. God. Ensemble films. Thor he gets to basically be even more out of touch than Steven Rogers. Which I think is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the new trailer for it, it reminds me of Iron Man 3, which I've said before, while it is not the best Marvel movie, it's the best movie made by Marvel. And I will seriously stand by that. I'm a comedy movie guy, though. If you were to come back and say, no, Winter Soldier, Civil War... I can agree with those. Those are very good films for sure. But for me, because I love comedy so much, I love Shane Black. I thought that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was a masterpiece. For me, Iron Man 3 is the best movie made by Marvel, but it is not the best Marvel movie.
Right.
Which, if that makes any sense. So Thor 3, Thor Ragnarok, looks like, you know, Thordians of the Galaxy. So I'm super stoked for that. It made me laugh. It hinted enough stuff from, like, Planet Hulk and Thor Versus, or Hulk Versus, rather, that I think I'm really going to enjoy the film.
Mm-hmm.
Last Jedi was a solid teaser. It's the kind of teaser that would have been amazing to see at a panel at a con, like just mind blowing to see at a panel at a con. I'm not feeling the same. I'm actually very happy with the teaser. I want to try to find a way to say this that doesn't make it sound like I'm ragging on it. I feel very happy with the teaser because, it didn't get my hopes up. It didn't make me go, oh my God. It just said, hey, remember this thing? There's something new coming, which is exactly what a teaser should do.
Yes. And I hope that that's where they leave it. I'm going to go on record right now, April the 16th, 2017, and say that The Last Jedi will not be The Empire Strikes Back of the third trilogy. I have a feeling that the first one is going to be The Empire Strikes Back of the third trilogy. But that being said, I'm excited. I think it had some more really awesome things, much like, you know, X-Wings in mountainous regions and lakes. Now they're in these deserts with red sands kicking up behind them and, you know, more space battles with the Millennium Falcon and TIE Fighters. That looks great. But they did just enough teasing with your four major characters and then Poe and BB-8, you know, thrown in there, a hint of Kylo Ren, you know, but I think it looks great, but as a Star Wars fan, I'm not like on the edge of my seat going, oh my God, I can't wait for Christmas to come. Like I was with Rogue One, like I was with The Force Awakens. And that's okay. That's totally okay because this is, you know, cinematic opera in nine acts.
Indeed.
You know, there's going to have to be at some point the setup for the big, hopefully they do this in such a way that it's a triple-triple. And continue the story then open-endedly. But everyone has known, whether it's true or not, that George, originally Star Wars A New Hope, was envisioned as just act one of the first of three acts, of the middle act of nine acts. You know, he had this Wagnerian idea, and some of that has been refuted and some of that's been corroborated and blah blah blah, whatever. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I hope that, because there was the original three, then there was the second three that were they exist, let's just leave it there, that the last three, you know, ties up this nice bow instead of, okay, well, Disney now owns it, so 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, it doesn't matter. So I'm very hopeful that this is the second of a trilogy, that's the third trilogy, and continues on, and therefore exposition needs to be done. But right now, like Andy said, it's a great teaser. It hasn't given anything away. It's played with, you know, oh, when last we left our intrepid heroes, you know, that's getting you excited, and the fact that Luke's talking and the fact that all this stuff is happening, and why can't I remember? I want to say Riley. It's not Riley. What's her name?
Oh, Rey? Rey's.
You know, that she's hearing these things and she's seeing these things, and it looks like there's some training going on, and, you know, it's getting those juices flowing, but I don't think awesome yet for The Last Jedi. I think awesome as a teaser for not giving away too much and just sort of, okay, get your juices going here, start salivating. We're coming out with something this summer that you're going to see in front of a bunch of movies on a big screen and listen to a big score. Yeah, I'm excited about that, but this is just, you know, this is just chumming right now.
Right, exactly.
in my humble opinion.
Indeed. So, my question for everybody today the two bards ask you, in this a stunning turn of events, be prepared. All right, the question on everyone's mind is, what are you doing for your leisure? Are you taking recreation? Are you... I don't really know where to go with this. But basically, what are you playing? What are your pastimes? So, Paula, for example, are you into any games or RPGs that you're really heavy into right now? What are they? What effect are they having on you? Are they... are you finding your pastimes to be... To actually be leisurely and recuperative, or are they job number two, which is what I'm finding in my life is most of my pastimes are job number two. So, yeah, just interested to hear what everyone out there is into, and maybe we can start talking about some of those cool things.
And if you reply to this particular question, please do so on the thread that posts this on the Two Bards. So when we post this mm-hmm. on the Two Bards page and Seth puts the links to this episode, you don't have to wait mm-hmm. for Seth to do that because he'll redo the thing.
It's going to take a little while, yeah.
Respond on that thread so that we don't get 20 threads open and we can reply to those. Eventually, we'll have discuss on the new Two Bards website,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be able to reply in line right there and capture all that. Right now, we're not there, mm-hmm. so instead of everyone replying individual comments on the Facebook page and getting too hard to manage, mm-hmm. on this episode 173, post your comments to the question on Facebook. And the question again, just so that I know, so that I can answer it as well, is mm-hmm. what are your leisure time pastimes, and are they leisure or are they job number two?
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah. Okay. That works for me.
brilliant. I am going to miss everyone for 2 weeks. I'm going to miss Andy most of all for the next couple of weeks, because I will be communicating with him, but I won't be hearing the dulcet tones of that golden-throated man.
Jeez, Dorothy, you had the power in you the whole time. You could just go home whenever you wanted. Just click your heels together and get dragged off a United flight. Wait, no, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That was scary. Should we make our plea to Neil, or should we just let him hang this week?
You know what? Let him hang. Sorry.
All right.
Let's let the question be unasked. I don't want to say anything about hanging.
Oh, dude, bad form. God damn it. Thank you to our Patreon backers, Hawk Robinson,
Leslie Saint Black,
Jay Blanken, Jesus Christ.
Rob McLennan.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
James Peters.
Gordon D. Duke.
Digby Davis, LLC.
Yokona Tahashi.
Dougie Sharp.
Todd McKimmy.
Amanda Cook.
Lotta Jerv.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Tim M.F. Martin.
Paula Moran, thanks again for the suggestion.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Gooey.
Rival Gooey. It's a GUI that's out there fighting Windows, Mac OS X.
There we go.
Ubuntu, probably. Yeah. It's not a very good GUI. It's really just a crosshair and one button you can click that just taunts you. You click it and it just like calls you a name. So it's not a very good GUI, but it is a rival. So
and
also,
and it's not Metro.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry.
And thank you, Metro. Thank you to Adam Chevalier, who is teaching a class on testing and is utilizing, guess what, unit testing. Is it enough in his little class presentation con thing?
What?
So, yeah. So we we're spreading the good testing word. And apparently hate speech. Thanks, Scott.